Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll have Kiad with us shortly here, but to bring our producer, Dave DiNatale, back in for the Monday night football edition of The Forecast.
All right, let me grab the kid because he's calling. I'm gonna put him on hold here real quick, and we'll get him here for the forecast.
All right, let me remind you guys about Dog Pound Drive. It's the official Cleveland Browns pregame party. It's back this season. It kicks off 3 hours before every Browns home game, and of course, there's beer, food trucks, music from DJs and live bands. The next one is tonight, of course, when the Browns take on the Ravens, presented by your Northeast Ohio Ford dealers for Monday Night Football, featuring music from DJ Stepfloss and live music from Sunrise Jones.
And my boy Mechadon.
And Mechadon.
I confirm. He's in town, and he confirmed that he's performing on Dog Pound Drive.
He's in town, and he is confirmed.
And he's got a slew of Browns and Buckeye songs.
I know. Let's go. He's got many songs to celebrate the greatness of Ohio. Dino, we got the kid?
Not yet.
Nope, the kid.
I could have guaranteed you the kid wouldn't call in after that Michigan loss.
He said
there's no answer.
I went to pick him up. There's nobody there.
Wow. All right, well, he'll try again. We'll get him.
Is he the joke or the bozo of the week?
The disappointment.
It's only Monday.
It is only Monday. He was nominated, though, last week.
We're carrying him over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, just
we'll have
him.
How about the bozo of the day?
I mean, we'll find out.
He's 2 days running for this show, both Friday and Monday.
Oh, now he needs 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Well, all right, we'll move on. Let's get into the forecast. Let's go. The kid will join us when he joins. Keep an eye out, though, Dino.
Okay, here we go.
Make it a priority in your life, Dino.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we're obviously not to the kid.
All right, gentlemen. The Browns will win tonight if blank.
The Browns will win tonight if they can stop the run. This is a Ravens team led by Matt Schaub without weapons surrounding Matt Schaub. And I think Joe Flacco is good enough to win without weapons. Matt Schaub is not. So if we allow the Ravens to stay in the game, create those 50-50 moments where is it run, is it pass for our defense, we could in fact lose this game. If we negate the run, force him to beat us with his arm, we will win the game.
We will win the game. We can win the game. We must win the game. And the way that the Browns will do it, if they win two categories, turnovers and penalties. If they go for the clean sweep there, they win this football game, and people will go home Monday night at midnight. They will fill their bellies with scotch, and they will sleep like they are loved. That is the answer.
I have good news.
Oh, he's graced us with his presence.
The kid!
Oh, the kid. Oh, what a great moment for Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The kid has decided to join us. The kid, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Apparently, Dino had to be rebooting systems or something. I don't know.
I did. Well, I did do some booting, but we're good.
That's what people were doing when you booted your responsibilities to this show last Friday in favor of a trip around Colonial Williamsburg, the kid.
Believe me, that's not really my cup of tea. I would have enjoyed being on the show, although I had a great trip, and Williamsburg is a fantastic place to visit. The historical portion of the tour is not really my type of thing.
I know, but do you feel that, you know, can we get a guarantee from you that you will not shirk your responsibilities to CBD and to your fans? We had tweets. We had texts.
People missed you, DeKid.
People missed you. They nominated you for the bozo of the week for
I'll take all criticism thrown my way. You know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. I would like to, of course, eat some humble pie. Is Wilhelm on the line?
Oh, Wilhelm is here. He was just sad. You know, he was
I'm accountable to the radio show.
Do you know that Alec had to come into this studio and remove your jersey after the slap in the face you gave this organization by just out of the blue no-showing after demanding a personalized jersey?
There was no out of the blue no-showing. You knew
Alec
was going to be there.
I knew you were good. What is this? I've done the show from Florida. I've done the show from California. I've done the show from Vegas.
You're done the show from European countries.
It doesn't matter. The show goes on, the kid. And you never made it clear that you wouldn't be on for at least 15 minutes.
Well, I didn't realize I was going to be going through this tour and this lady giving me all these facts about the where George Washington or whoever, George Carver lived.
Didn't you have to go to the bathroom?
I was going to say, this is a city, and I would imagine that I'm even in colonial times, there were places that people went to get
find
away
an outhouse,
and conduct
bro.
Their business.
My kids, I don't have to justify. You know what? I had to do what I had to do. I was taking care of my kids.
And that's why Alec had to do what he had to do. The kid jersey is no longer here. We don't even know where it is. You had to do what you had to do. Everybody's
visitors to Berea no longer walk upstairs and go, who the hell is the kid?
I know. They're like, what? Yeah. That's what was happening. It was like the centerpiece. It was like Disneyland. You had to go see the statue of Walt Disney, you know, and people had to come and pay homage to the shrine of the kid jersey. And now they're like, where is it?
It's da probation.
It's the probation.
It's
yes.
It's
a probationary period.
In any event, Wilhelm, your squad did look pretty much unbeatable on Saturday.
It was almost like men versus boys, wasn't it?
It was a slap in the face. It was a cold water, but you take a step back and compare.
I don't necessarily think the future's that bright for Michigan either after that.
Oh, I do. We look at where we
were
a year ago.
What a bunch of 15-year-olds that are freshmen in high school right now that Harbaugh may recruit?
No. There's some freshmen that were there this year. There's some freshmen coming in next year.
Tell them to get in the cold tub. Their lumps are very, very large after that one.
Listen, it's a process, and I believe that we're on the right track, and, it's always darkest before the dawn.
And one other question.
It's always darkest before the dawn, Matt Wilhelm.
One other question is, why is Jim Harbaugh, who is so proud to be the head coach at Michigan and wear the maize and blue, the only one on the sideline wearing a black Michigan jacket? Everyone wears maize and blue except for the head coach in a black jacket.
You can't explain the mad scientist. Okay. That is Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
If he wants to wear a black coat, I'm not going to lose sleep over him wearing a black coat.
I'm just asking.
Speaking of mad, how happy are you that the Mad Hatter remains?
You know what? That athletic director needs to be gone, though. I mean, that was embarrassing the way they treated him. They made the right decision at the end, but to leave a guy like that hung out to dry. I mean, people, LSU is not Ohio State, not Michigan, not USC, not Oklahoma. LSU was a garbage program for a really long time. Saban came in, made them good, and Miles is built on
that. He's continued that.
Yeah, for them to get rid of him would be a joke.
So in other words, you're happy.
I'm happy that he's staying.
All right, the kid. So in the world of the picks, this week I picked up one on you. Wilhelm did. You guys ended up smashing around.
Oh, we smashed. I thought you said I was up. Okay.
I was wrong because Wilhelm, for the week you smashed.
Oh, but Wilhelm picked one up on Thursday.
He picked one up on Thursday.
Right. Yes.
And I smashed with you, but I picked one up on Thursday as well.
I don't like the way you're talking about smashing other men.
I know. Where are you going with this?
Wilhelm, you're very
smashed.
It's a gambling term. It's a window term, Wilhelm.
Yeah, well, I don't make many trips, bud.
All right, so I am three down. You are two down. The kid remains in the league, but he's starting to squeeze the football, the kid, because you need Willie to come out and get this season over for you so you can get a dinner. All right, tonight, let's just get right into it. Is it the third to guarantee the season? Drum roll, please, Dino, at some point. Don't answer until there's the drum roll.
All right.
All right.
Are you ready? The kid.
I'm ready. I hate to do it because it would be so much better for the Browns in the long term to lose this game, but I am coming out with the guarantee number three. As you know, there's been two guarantees and two victories this year. Here's the third one. The reason why is because Josh McCown is playing football at a high level, and basically we're playing against the third-string offense tonight of Baltimore's. And you saw New England, even with Tom Brady, struggled when their weapons went out. Well, Baltimore has actually lost more weapons off their team than New England has, including the quarterback, the running back, and the wide receiver. I believe that the Browns will win, and they may win comfortably.
Ah, crowd pleasing from the kid. The third to guarantee there. The kid, the Browns line, by the way, has moved from 2 all the way to 4.5.
And that's
Vegas telling you that the guarantee is a smart play.
You don't think he was in tune to that before he just made the guarantee?
That's why he took the weekend. He elected to take the weekend before he made the guarantee. All right, Dino, let's get back into the forecast here. Now we've got the kid to participate. Kid, you'll answer first.
All right, guys, here we go. All right, what player on the Ravens offense actually concerns you, gentlemen?
None. And that's why I'm predicting the Browns to win. They got nothing. Maybe that Allen character, but I'm not worried about him.
Buck Allen? Okay.
I have the same sentiments. I feel like none, and I'll go with Kamar Aiken if I had to choose one.
I'm going to go with the guy that I think could hurt us because I don't think they're going to be able to grind out long drives. I don't think they're going to be able to walk down the field, per se, and beat the Browns. So what hurts you? The big play. Who's their big play guy? Well, that's Chris Givens, a speedster who's given the Browns fits in the preseason and the regular season at times. So that's the guy that concerns me. I think if we can limit the big plays, I don't really see a whole lot of issues popping up with this here offense led by Matt Schaub. Matt Schaub, people. Matt Schaub.
He might be their best offensive player today.
Matt Schaub might be their best player. He might be our best offensive player. The guy throws serious pick sixes. Serious.
Big time.
Big time.
Meanwhile, on the other side of the ball, who's the X factor for the Browns offense tonight?
I think it's always, you know, to a certain extent, the quarterback, and I think Josh McCown will play well. And I expect Duke Johnson to have some big plays out of the backfield and maybe a little bit of big play gear.
Yeah, I'm going to go non-quarterback simply because I believe it to be Josh McCown as well, but I'm going to go with big play Gare as well. He had a great game up there in Baltimore, and obviously he had the catch off his you-know-what. So I'm going to go big play Gare again.
He is the straw that stirs the drink, big play Gare, but since I don't want to steal your thunder, Matt Wilhelm.
No thunder stolen.
I'm going to say it's got to be the combination of Duke Johnson and the Crow. We know what Josh McCown can do, but when the Browns' offense has been at its best, and the two games where I thought the Browns' offense was at its best was the game against San Diego and the game against Baltimore. What happened in those games? The running backs, well over 100 total yards together, well over 150 total yards together. That's what they're going to have to do if they want to go ahead and beat this team. They are the guys to watch on offense.
Browns defense has to hold the Ravens to under blank points to win tonight, guys.
I'd say under 21 points. I think we're going to have our offense is going to be able to score on their defense. So anything under 21, the Browns are victorious.
I agree. I'm not going to give my prediction as of right now, but I think if they keep them under 21, they will win the football game.
I think they've just got to keep them under 24, and that will be the key. The over-under, by the way, is 41. Vegas not expecting many fireworks in this game, so the Browns, by that logic, should keep them under 20 if they're going to win, according to the way that Las Vegas has it drifting up, et cetera, et cetera. So when I look at this one, it's not so much the offense that bothers me. I think the Browns will be able to score points. It's going to be the matter of the sloppiness, the execution, the keeping everything on schedule, the going ahead and not giving them ridiculous holding penalties like that was called against the New England Patriots last night to steal victory from them at the face for Brock Osweiler, with the referees turning in the worst performance I've ever seen over one weekend of football. But nonetheless, I think under 24 and the Browns win.
All right, guys, and that leads to, of course, we need you to call your shot. Browns, Ravens tonight. We already have the guarantee. But let's get the picks from all three.
I'm going to say Cleveland 27, Baltimore 14.
I wrote it down already. I'm going to go, and it coincides with what you said, kid, less than 21. I have a 27-20 Browns.
I have the Browns in a barn burner 17-10.
That would burn a lot of butter.
And there it is. That
there
is our
is.
Monday forecast. The kid, I've got to tell you, being reunited feels so good.
I would sing, but I'm not known for my singing.
But you will be making your first appearance at First Energy Stadium this season tonight. So for
it's
all
not
the,
my first, second.
Oh, your second. First. What other game did you go to?
The Broncos game.
The which one?
Broncos.
The Broncos game.
Oh, that's right, with the Bully Bullion.
Yeah, the Bully Bullion. I got to call him today. He must have been going crazy last
night. Oh, that had to be a great win for the Bullion. Hails from Denver, Colorado. Broncos fan. Wore a Peyton Manning jersey to the game. When
he was already calling for Osweiler at that time. He's got to be singing on top of his car like this guy is Johnny Unitas or something.
And if he, if anybody watched that game, Brock Osweiler's footwork atrocious, inaccurate with the football. They did not win because of Brock Osweiler.
No.
Let it be known.
But yet, if you go to Yahoo's lead page, it's that check he made.
There's stories being told that he's the difference, and you know the one thing that makes any sense though is that they can run the ball out of a behind, you know, a regular snap rather than a shotgun. That's the only thing, but anybody could do that. That's not 40 years old and can't move anymore.
Well, that is, you are correct, and that is for the Kubiak offense.
Much better.
So much better. Yep. Can you explain to the layman out there why
zone
stretch game works much better with your quarterback under center than
quarterback under center is obviously it allows you to have a quarterback, you know, make everything or that offensive line look the same. So he can pull the football, turn his back to the defense, and be at the depth he would have been out of the shotgun, 6-7 yards, scanning the field. But it holds, it gets the defensive line running laterally, not towards you if you're obviously dropping back to pass. And, of course, has the linebackers flow with the action of the offensive line, and the quarterback then can pull the football, as I mentioned, get back into good depth, 5-7 step drop, and throw the football in that intermediate down the field type of passing game.
And you can't from a shotgun, just logistically speaking, being under center and having the depth gives you the angle to get wide to actually hand the football off. If you're in a shotgun, you can pretty much hand it off for an inside hand, or you can toss it.
And that's something that Peyton Manning, even in Indy, under center, struggled with. I mean, he's literally running, and it's like lunging it to the player on that outside zone.
Yes, he would do that. But sometimes then he'd put it out there for edge, and then he'd pull it back.
Right.
And then he'd hit Marvin Harrison or Reggie Wayne,
Dallas Clark.
In his prime, he was able to make that handoff. But and he was not athletic then. He's certainly athletic now.
No. You know who, by the way, this should have been one of our top takeaways. Did you watch any of the Steelers-Seahawks game yesterday, the kid?
Very little. I was driving.
Big Ben, phenomenal thrower of the football, but there was one play where literally the seas parted and he had to scramble for about 7 yards, and it looked like he was about 380 and was working on two bum knees. I mean,
it's like watching Philip Rivers scramble.
Unattractive. Philip Rivers, so three of the most unathletic people scrambling. You got him, you got Rivers, Roethlisberger, and Carson Palmer. Roethlisberger looked awful and ended up getting tackled.
Brady
will sneak up on you, and then he slides gracefully.
But, I mean, he wears those big – he's probably got size 15 shoes with the spat on top, so they look like army boots.
It looks like Roethlisberger is wearing 8 flak jackets. I mean, he just has misshapen. It was awful. Rivers ran 10 yards for a first down and got up and celebrated like he had just won the lottery.
We had Philip Rivers run like a naked bootleg 1 year in San Diego, and it's like you needed the sundial like for him to knock over the pylon. He still – like he was wide open by 10 yards when he made the turn – and got hit at the pylon, for a 3-yard rush.
And Carson Palmer had one similar to that where he was wide open, and all of a sudden it closed quickly, but he got in the end zone. Then he got up to spike the ball and fell down at the same time.
To NFL radio. They sort of go around the league, and they take it there, and like the Cardinals announcers for a second were like very nervous that he actually injured himself during that
He spiked it and just crumpled to the ground in a heap and then got up, and they kind of laughed at him. But he ended
up
being okay.
That's a great format, by the way. What they do is they give you whoever's on offense, that's the play caller. When they go to the game, they give you the home team, like the offensive team broadcasting team, so you always get the excited announcer when they score a touchdown.
That's a smart thing. The kid, always a pleasure. We'll see you later this afternoon when you head on down to First Energy Stadium for the Browns and the Ravens Monday Night Football.
Until then, I'll see you later.
All right, the kid out earning his jersey back. Trust is lost in buckets. It's gained back in drops.
He has one drop for me.
We'll throw a few drops in for the kid. All right, when we come back, final thoughts, wrapping it up here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.